Hello, and welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And after a pretty short hiatus, I would say a month or two, we are back to finish Degrassi High. We are on season two. This is it. We're on our final lap.
It's been a long journey.
Yeah, like we've said, we started in 2020 during COVID. Our first episode came out in May of 2020, and we have it planned so that our last episode comes out in May 2024.
Yes, we'll see. Holidays were a busy time. I'm applying for jobs.
Jasper may or may not move closer to me. We'll see how it goes. Regardless, we'll be within like 7.5 hours of each other, whereas right now we are not within 7.5 hours of each other by driving.
Yeah, 7.5 hours maybe by flying.
Yeah, really. So this is very exciting for us. Thank goodness season two of Degrassi High is not terrible to watch. It was actually pretty entertaining. And I'm looking forward to wrapping it up with you, Jasper.
Yeah, honestly, I liked season two less than season one.
Really? Okay. I why do you say that?
I just feel like the plots were less heavy hitting. I guess that's not necessarily true. We did have our first death, or first student death, I suppose, in this season. Like, we'll talk about that eventually. But things like that in this season kind of felt like they came out of nowhere. Whereas last season, like the abortion thing, that was like throughout the whole season, it was built up and you could see the consequences the whole time. Whereas this season, I feel like it was a bit more sporadic in terms of like this episode is just kind of one and done for the most part.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. When I was watching it, knowing that it was the last season of Degrassi High, it kind of felt like a nice wrap up. I mean, like the ending was like, eh, but as I was watching it, I was like, these characters, they've grown so much since we first saw them, and their problems are becoming more adult, and I felt like I was watching legitimate Degrassi, which was nice.
Yes, I agree that the problems are definitely more adult. I just feel like with it being the last season, it didn't feel like a farewell season. Like, I feel like a lot of the plots are just kind of left without any resolution or anything. And a lot of the characters just kind of either don't have a conclusion or they're just ending. Like, it just didn't have a conclusion, which makes sense because nobody graduated this season. But like in the last episode, they closed the school. So they obviously planned for it to be the last season.
That is something that I would definitely want to talk about because did they know it was going to be the last season? Because they didn't even bring up the school closing until like the last episode.
Yeah. So I think in Linda Skyler's book, she talked about how Kit Hood, who she initially created Degrassi with, he was like done with the show at this point. He was like, the characters are old. They're like all graduating now. And I think she kind of had to fight to get the movie even.
Wow.
So, like, I think this was planned to be the last season of Degrassi High. And then they were like, we need to at least have a graduation for these characters, which is why they fought to get the movie. But that graduation is only for one class of characters, like the whole younger class. We don't ever see them graduate. And especially for those characters who, most of which we'll be talking about in this episode, they get no conclusion at all.
So when they were writing the season, they knew that this is going to be the last season, but I feel like you're right where they left off a lot of, I don't know, not like cliffhangers, but they definitely left us with some questions. So do you think that she was just kind of hopeful that one day they could, like, maybe that movie would become a third season? Or do you think she was like, okay, we'll answer all those questions in the movie? Like, what do you think?
I feel like even in the movie, they don't answer any of the questions that are left from this season for the most part.
I haven't watched the movie in a while, so I don't
Like,
remember.
if anything, the movie just kind of they take advantage of the year time jump just to have a reset of a lot of things.
Okay. To kind of wrap it up, but like not really.
Yeah, like for example, like we're going to talk about Tessa in this episode. Tessa ends the season with Yik.
Right.
But then in the beginning of the movie, she's with this random other guy who she breaks up with in the first scene of the movie.
Oh, yeah, okay. So that definitely doesn't, that's not the same then.
So it's like, why did we have this whole episode about Tessa getting with Yik if you're just gonna throw her with this random other guy just to have her break up with him for Joey?
Well, I'm actually, that's a good question. We definitely can talk about that when we talk about her, because I have some thoughts.
Yes. But yeah, those are just kind of broad thoughts about the season. Oh, I
Right.
did want to mention that I feel like thematically a lot of the episodes kind of went together. Like in this episode, we're going to talk about the sleepover episode, for instance. So that is an episode where like the theme of the episode is friends having a sleepover together. But then there's others, like there's another episode all about love triangles. That's the Snake Michelle Spike love triangle and the Tessa Yik Alex love triangle. So a lot of the episodes are thematically connected together, which I feel like Degrassi tends not to do. Like the A plot and the B plot are usually very separate in terms of what they're talking about.
Right.
So it was interesting to see them do that. But I think the consequence of that is that there were fewer season-long storylines overall because they were like, oh, we want to do a love triangle episode. So they just kind of had to manufacture a love triangle for that episode without build up necessarily.
I kind of liked that about the season, though. I kind of liked those, like, thematic parts. I think that's why I liked it better than last season. I know last season had like some con like continuity with the plots, and especially with the abortion thing, like they actually followed through with something the whole time. But I also understand that if this was the last season and they knew this was the last season, they didn't want to start something huge and end it. I guess the one that comes to mind is Dwayne's, I feel like is pretty consistent throughout the entire season, even though he's not a lead character.
Yeah, like I'd say Dwayne is really the only season-long storyline, whereas everybody else is just kind of, we're gonna do this one thing in an episode and then it's over.
Well, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, Caitlin's parents are also pretty season long.
Okay, we'll talk about that, but who the fuck cared about that storyline?
Okay, me maybe, whatever. Jesus. Anyway, I guess we can just go into her and yeah, we're gonna be spicy. Oh, jeez. Funny.
But like I just feel like the storylines themselves this season were less satisfying.
For you, definitely. You love some drama.
Yes. But we will be talking about the sleepover episode, which I do think is my favorite episode in the entire series. So
Right, we'll get there. We'll get there.
yeah, so I think we're actually going to be starting there with Arthur and Yik.
Cool. Let's do it.
So, Arthur, last season we left him. Remember, he had his crush on Caitlin. He had some conflict with Yik. Yik had found some new friends, but then they kind of made up at the end when they TP'd Mr. Radish's house. So now, in the new school year, all the guys are talking about doing a poker night, and Alex says that he cannot go because he needs to work on a paper. And they are especially excited because Luke's parents are gone for the weekend, so they could just bro out. They plan to get some weed, but Kathleen unfortunately found it and took it for herself. So they don't got any drugs. But Yik ends up convincing Luke to get Arthur on board, even though Luke does not like Arthur very much. Joey also comes along, mostly because he is annoyed of living with wheels at this point. He needs some time away from wheels. So they end up going to Luke's place and start playing some poker. They order a pizza. They do some gossiping about girls, which is fun. And as they're playing poker, Arthur does the classic How, what does this mean? I don't know what suit this is. So he fakes like he doesn't know what he's doing, but he ends up winning all of the money and impressing the guys with his bluffs and such. So Luke is like, I got schooled by a nerd. Respect, man. They all like pass out on the couch, very cute. And when they meet each other on Monday morning, they make a plan to play again the next weekend, and Gick lets Arthur know that he is always invited. And that's really all there is for Arthur. Yik, as we alluded to, has a little bit with Tessa, which we will talk about briefly.
Nice. Okay. Boys' night. That's it. That's literally it. Arthur, we've seen him around, but not really. Was he the one who put the letters in the locker for Alex and Tessa?
Yes.
Okay, so he did do something else other than that, but yeah, he didn't really have any plots. He sure stayed a C level character this entire time. They brought him up to a B for like a minute, but he just slowly dropped, and here we are. He's just playing poker, and he's still rich. They brought that up, so that's good.
I don't think anybody will ever get over Arthur being rich.
I'm fine with that. At least they continued that. Whereas, like for Zoe, we know that they did not keep anything like that the same anymore. So I'm fine with them being like, he won the lottery, he's rich. I would have loved for them to reference Stephanie at some point this season, but they did not.
She's busy in private school, probably getting pregnant.
Yeah, probably. I did think that it was kind of cute how once they got to know Arthur, they enjoyed him being there. I liked that. I feel like that was pretty wholesome. Like, I understand at first, they're just like, oh, he's a nerd. Like, yeah, he kind of is. But it doesn't mean you can't hang out with him. It doesn't mean he's like not a fun dude just because he's smart
Enriched.
and rich. I guess that makes me wonder what about Yik made him more popular than Arthur, do you think?
Well, wasn't the whole thing that Arthur like went to Europe for the summer and Yik ended up like just hanging out in parking lots doing tomfoolery?
Okay, yeah, so that's how he kind of led to like he had to branch out and make more friends where Arthur didn't really have that opportunity, so he was just with Yik. Like he was still like, Yik's my only friend, where Yik had to branch out and made more friends.
Yeah, so that was the whole conflict last season where Arthur had to prove himself as still being a good friend.
Right.
So now it's at the point where Yik and Arthur are on good terms again, but now Yik has all these other friends that do not fuck with Arthur.
Yeah. But I do appreciate Yik still bringing Arthur around and like trying, you know what I mean? Like he still was a friend in that sense.
Yeah, he was like, hey, Arthur's a nerd and he's rich, but like, he's cool. Let's just play poker with him. You'll see that he's cool. And they did.
See, that's the difference between JT and Toby. JT like had no interest in trying to bring Toby into like his pop like new popularity, whereas Yik was like, yeah, let's invite Arthur. Why are you guys being dicks about it?
Yeah, Yik's just a good guy. He smokes weed a little bit these days, but.
Can
He's a
you blame him? But yeah, overall, I liked watching their friendship. We saw them when they were like little tiny babies, and then now we're at this point and they're still friends. They didn't split off. They didn't, you know, I mean, they've had their fights as friends do. But they always seem to work it out. And I liked seeing Arthur happy and making more friends. That made me happy.
yes, would have been nice to see him get over Caitlin. He was still talking about her at the sleepover.
See, that doesn't surprise me though. Caitlin was his first like huge crush. You know, like you always have that whole high school crush that you like have all through high school, even if you're like, there's literally no shot in anywhere that this person will ever look at me. You gotta keep them in the back of your mind. Like, that's the fun part of
That's true.
it.
So, what did you feel about the poker night sleepover in general?
I thought it was cool that they did it the same episode as the girls. It also is nice to see like other characters kind of like hang out outside of school. I feel like we usually see, you know, Snake and Joey and Wheels. We see them outside of school hang out a lot, and I think it was nice to see another group of boys like doing stuff that's not really like a party scene, I guess. Even though they said it was a party because the parents weren't home, but they all just kind of hung out and like they're like, "What? We're gonna stay up all night." And then he's like, "I gotta call my mom." It just is cute.
Well, speaking of Joey, Wheels, and Snake, I loved seeing Joey interact with these guys also.
Yeah, like it just shows that, which we'll talk about with Joey. I think this was one of Joey's better seasons. Like, he's just a guy's guy in this season. He's got a lot of friends, like people have his back, and it was nice to see him like outside of, well, when I say guy's guy, not Wheels guy, but everyone else, he's a guy's guy. But it
Yeah,
is
like.
nice to see him with other people.
Yeah, because he's been with this class. Like, he got held back in season two, I think. So he's been in this class for like two. This is his third year, I think, in this class. So, like, it's cool to see that he has actually made friends with these people that he spends most of his day with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I always get confused on who's in what class, honestly, because I know Yik skipped a grade, but like, so he's younger, but he looks like everybody, like the same age as everybody else, so that throws me off.
Grade.
Who skipped? Oh, I'm thinking that other tiny nerdy kid skipped a
Oh,
grade. Never mind.
Scooter, Scooter.
Yeah, sorry. I always thought him and Yik, I'm like, they're the same to me, but they're not the same at all. My
Shorties
bad.
with glasses.
Yes. Yik was so tiny when he started Degrassi. He's a tiny little kid.
Yeah. I just thought, like, even with the girls' plot too, this episode is my favorite because it's just the like teenagers being teenagers. Like, there aren't any huge consequences, even though the girls smoke weed and the guys at least were hoping to smoke weed. Because even at the beginning of the episode, they do a drug search at school. So that kind of felt like, oh, there might be something happened to these guys with the drugs, but nothing did.
Yeah,
So
nothing
I
did.
just liked how, even though like they were doing quote unquote bad things, I guess even gambling, sometimes people are like, don't do that. That nobody got in trouble with like authorities or their parents or anything. Nothing hugely terrible happened. It was just like friends being friends, just goofing off and hanging out.
Just guys being dudes, hanging out,
Yeah.
playing poker. I agree. It was wholesome.
Yeah, so we kind of talked a bit about Arthur and Yik's friendship over the seasons. What about specifically Arthur? Since this is the last time we'll be talking about him.
What about him? Like, just his character in general?
Yeah, like his growth from being Stephanie's snot-nosed little brother to now, like, being able to make some friends, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for a character that didn't really have too much, it was, I don't, honestly, like, I don't even want to say he was entertaining because a lot of the time I was kind of like bored with his plots. He was never mean. He never was intentionally mean. And him becoming rich, I feel like, was just the biggest hurdle him and Yik had to like overcome. So I guess that's better than him being a terrible person. Or, yeah, I know, bar's low, right? I don't know. I don't have too much to say about him just because he really didn't have too much going on for a lot of the Degrassi.
Well, I guess what's interesting is that in junior high, he and Yik, like we talked about, like owned the C plot space. Like, pretty much most episodes, they had something silly and stupid going on.
Right.
And then as they grew up, they got that less and less, so they got less attention. So they did kind of fade into the background, especially Arthur. So, yeah, just kind of interesting how that kind of happened, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, Degrassi has to pick and choose who's gonna rise up and who's not. And I guess also they didn't really have too much of a connection to any other character after Stephanie left. So that kind of made it a little bit more difficult too to kind of rationalize like why should we make them, you know, continue being like characters in the show when they don't have any like real connection. like they're not really friends with other people. Like having Joey like hang out with them showed, oh good, like they are connected with like other people at Degrassi besides just themselves. But yeah, that's Arthur and Nick.
Yeah, they had some small growth, but the growth was still there. I like to see them. I never was like, other than that stupid recap episode.
I knew you were gonna say that. That was the Christmas one.
Yeah.
That was so funny. I liked it. You were like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, oh, okay. Love a good flashback.
You see, a flashback episode could have worked in this season, not in season three.
Yeah, do you think they're just feeling a little lazy?
Yeah, maybe they just didn't have the budget.
They're like, it's Christmas time. No one wants to actually film. Can we just do flashbacks? And they're like, yeah, whatever, sure.
Yeah, so that's really it for Arthur and Yik's relationship. Yik will pop up in Alex and Tessa if you want to get into them.
I sure do. Way more interesting stuff is coming.
All right. So, what was Tessa doing last season? She had a little date with Scooter at one point, right? I think that's it.
Yeah, that was about it.
Because Scooter practiced dancing with Bart to like dance
Oh.
Tessa, right?
Yeah, were they the ones that were always running around the hallway, like during the dances?
Yes, Scooter and Tessa.
Yep, so, but now we have Tessa, no Scooter this season, right?
He's in the season, but he doesn't do anything.
Okay. Yeah. So we just get Tessa. And Tessa's had a glow up. Proud of her.
Yeah.
Well, like all of them have. I won't deny that. All everyone's like putting in their work. Their hair is looking normaler. Like it's good. It's good.
Puberty.
Proud of them.
All right. So, Tessa, she has a big crush on Joey. And he bumps into her in the hallway one day, and she's like, oh my God, he did that on purpose. Is he flirting with me? So she's like kikiing with her good friend Dorothy about Joey. And she's like, Dorothy is like, okay, girl. Little does she know. But that's for later. Anyway, Alex, the nerdy Greek guy with glasses that we have seen throughout all of Degrassi so far, he has a big crush on Tessa herself. And he's talking to Arthur about it. Arthur tries to set them up by putting secret admirer notes in each of their lockers saying, meet me after school, something like that. So both of them are waiting on the school steps for quite a while until they both realize that they both had secret admirer notes. Tessa is mad because she was hoping that it was Joey, but Alex is like, okay, this is the girl I like. So he asks to walk her home, and Tessa says yes. And they actually hit it off on their walk home. So they kind of spark up a little friendship to start. A couple episodes later, we find out that Alex and Tessa have been on a couple dates, but Tessa is upset that Alex hasn't tried to kiss her yet. And Alex, on his end, says that he wants to kiss her, but he doesn't really know how to. He's never kissed anybody before. So they end up going on another date. They go to the movies. And when Alex drops her off at home, they come close to kissing, but Alex ends up whipping out and runs away. The next day at school, Tessa avoids him, and she's like, I cannot be with him if he cannot like be a man and kiss me. So she holds him after class, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I don't want to talk to you. We can't communicate at all. I've been wanting you to kiss me. So at that point, Alex is like, oh, you want me to kiss you? So he like, it was kind of strange, like the confidence that he immediately got, but he like does the classic like whips her over his shoulder and like kisses her in a dip and stuff.
His glasses off.
Yeah, he takes his glasses off. He kisses her and she's like, oh my God. And they officially become boyfriend and girlfriend. We then have a short interlude where in the sleepover episode, Alex says that he has to miss poker night because he has been procrastinating doing an essay for English class, and he has plans with his family to go fishing over the weekend. So he's like, oh, I need to like stay home and work on this all night. So while the guys and the girls are doing their sleepovers, we get interludes of Alex furiously typing on his typewriter throughout the night. But he ends up not finishing in time, so he misses going fishing with his family and works on the essay all weekend. We then come back to them when we find out that Tessa has been tutoring Yik because Alex is too busy to tutor Yik himself, so he asked Tessa to help Yik out in, I don't even know what class it is, probably all of them. But in the course of tutoring him, Tessa has developed a crush on him and she's been having some daydreams about, Yik flirting with her and trying to kiss her and such. So Alex then comes to her and gives her a cute little heart ring for their 3 month anniversary, but she pretty much has no reaction. She's like visibly annoyed that Alex gave her this gift for their anniversary. So she then is talking to Dorothy, like in class in front of Alex. I don't know if we were supposed to believe that Alex couldn't hear, but it was like pretty obvious that he could. But anyway, she's telling Dorothy that she doesn't like Alex anymore. She doesn't like the gift that he got her. And she's actually kind of into Yik. She's kind of denying it at this point, but Dorothy's like, girl, come on. Because they're at in that scene, Tessa and Yik are like giving each other glances in the classroom. So the next time that Tessa is tutoring Yik, when Yik has like a breakthrough in whatever they're doing, she ends up kissing him. And when she does that, she's like, oh no, and runs away. The next day, she goes to Yik and she's like, oh, I'm sorry for kissing you, but for what it's worth, I was planning on breaking up with Alex anyway. So we then transition a bit to Yik's point of view, where Arthur tells Yik, like, you're Alex's friend. How can you do that to him and kiss his girlfriend? And Yik is like, she kissed me, blah, 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 blah. So then they're like doing hockey in gym or something. And Alex very snidely says, oh, Yik, how's the tutoring going? Because, like, throughout this episode, he has also been kind of sus of Tessa and Yik spending time together. So Yik is like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for it to happen. She kissed me, but like, oh, we both like each other, and what can you do? Alex, of course, did not know what was going on. So he gets super pissed. They start a little fight between Yik and Alex. And that kind of ends Yik and Alex's friendship. Not that I think they were particularly close to begin with, but throughout the episode, everyone was saying Yik and Alex are friends, so whatever. But anyway, the next day, Tessa goes up to apologize to Alex, saying that she wanted to break up with him, but she didn't want to hurt his feelings. And she says, I hope we could still be friends. And Alex says, we most certainly cannot be friends anymore. And that is the end of the iconic, or not iconic, depending on your opinion, of Talix.
Oh my God. I do want to mention one quote by Tessa was when they were her and Alex were talking about the kiss that didn't happen. And he was like, well, I didn't know if you wanted to. And she's like, what'd you want me to do? Send you a fax? I was dead. I was like, oh my God, what a time period, like joke.
Well, also, when Alex is on his literal typewriter for his essay, it's like this huge clunker on his desk. I'm like, oh my God.
I loved that. And then I don't know why he had a pillow on top of it. It was weird. I don't know what was going on there. But what I think this sets us up for is that Tessa is not one to wait around for her to break up with her boyfriend before jumping into something with someone, which we will also see her kind of. She just goes with her emotions, I guess, is really what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, she's very impulsive. She's a little messy.
Yes, definitely messy. She continues that into the movie, as we will see. But I'm not, it's almost like I don't want to blame her for this because her and Alex were done. Let's be real. Like, she was totally right in like wanting to end it. There was no communication there. Obviously, he was never gonna like, I don't wanna say like man up because that's not right. Like he was never just gonna be the one to take the initiative in the relationship. And that's something she wanted. And I also thought it was really interesting how when someone was like, oh, you should kiss him, and she was like, no, I don't want him to think that I'm easy. And I think that's such a reflection of the time period because I'm sure people would have thought she was. But she was so worried about people thinking she was easy, but she did not care. when she cheated on him with Yik. So I feel like it's very back and forth about what she wants people to perceive her on and like what she wants people to think of her. Because in one hand she's like, I don't want them to think that I'm like an easy girl, but then also you're making out with a dude that's not your boyfriend. So it's a tough one. But like I said, I think she was already over Alex. She was gonna dump him. He surprised her with a kiss. Obviously, that didn't save whatever was there because she couldn't care less about him when he was like, it's our 3 month anniversary. And she literally gave him a dirty look, like you
Yeah.
said. She was like, you can go away now. I'm with my steady boyfriend.
Well, so here's the thing. I did think Tessa and Alex were kind of cute with how they started,
I
where
agree.
when not Alex, when Arthur put the letters in their notes, it reminded me of when Connor with Allie and Eli.
Oh my God, that was, they're like, but you're friends. If you're friends, you should date. And she's like, I didn't want that guy.
Yeah, Arthur doing that just brought me right back to like Eli giving the flowers to the old ladies at the dot.
Was so funny.
But yeah, like I thought their start was very cute, and the wanting him to kiss her thing, I do, like you said, was very much of the time. And I thought it was kind of cute, even though when he did kiss her, it came off like, I don't want to say a salty, because she didn't want him to kiss her, but the way he did it was like very abrupt. I was like, oh God, I don't like this.
I think he probably wanted to be this cool, suave guy who, like, got caught up in the moment. But in reality, she was like in the middle of breaking up with him. Like, I don't, if I were him, I probably would have just been like, whatever, it's done. Like, obviously, she's not that into me if, like, this is the breaking point. But he did not really catch that hint. He just thought he put a band-aid over what was going on. And obviously, that didn't work out in his favor.
Yeah.
I also was wondering if Tessa actually liked Alex or if he was the first guy to like actually show her some sort of affection and she was like, "Oh, I can do this." And then kind of went with it because she had zero interest in him when they were sitting outside. She didn't want to talk to him when they were waiting to see who was going to show up from the letters. She was like more annoyed that he was there than anything. And I understand that it was because she was waiting for someone to meet her or was hoping it was Joey. But I just don't, it was never gonna last. She already had feelings for Joey when it started. And then, like I said, I don't think she was really interested in him in general. And then Yik came along and here we are.
Yeah, I really think, like you said, it was the first guy that actually pursued her in any meaningful way. So she was like, ooh, attention from boys. I like it. Then she was like, not this boy.
Yeah, and I think Alex is a nice guy, but I can also see where Tessa is the kind of girl who wants a popular guy. She wants a guy who will like take initiative and like has, for like she likes Joey for a reason. He's like outgoing, he's charismatic, and then she likes Yik because Yik's like kind of the same way. Like he's at least I don't know if he's popular, but he does have that group of friends. He's smart, like I think he falls into kind of the same category as Joey, where like Alex kind of falls into like the same category as Arthur.
Right.
But I do think that Alex was friends with Yik because if he was also invited to poker night, I'm assuming he's just in the same friend group. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, like I could see them being in the same friend group. I just never got the vibe that Yik and Alex ever had a one-on-one relationship that, like, to the point that Yik would owe Alex anything.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think they were like hanging out outside of it, especially because Alex was so involved with like student council stuff, right? And the paper for a while in the earlier seasons. So they didn't really have similar interests other than probably just the like four friends that they all hang out with.
Right.
I did kind of feel for Alex though. Like he did like Tessa a lot. And Arthur was just trying to do him a favor.
Yeah, it was a little funny or weird, I guess, how like he had the vibe that things were going on with Tessa and Yik the entire episode, but he never spoke up about it or anything. He just kind of made snide remarks the whole time.
Yeah, it sounds like he didn't want to believe it was true. Especially because they had been together for 3 months. 3 months is a decent amount of time in high school, anyway.
Did 3 months mean nothing?
3 months meant nothing to her, that's for sure. And I think, who was it? Her one friend did mention, like, hey, it's probably a better idea to, like, get over the other guy before jumping into something. There was some sort of conversation they had.
Oh yeah, Dorothy said something like, "Oh, so you would only break up with Alex if you knew you would get with Yik afterwards."
Right, like if you had someone lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting take because we don't really know Tessa that well, but based on how fast she went from like, I like Joey to I like Alex to I like Yik, like she is not holding back. She is guy hopping.
Yeah, if nothing else, this just sets Tessa up very nicely for the movie, which I liked, I would say.
I agree. I think it was important for them to say that she did like Joey because then it wasn't an out of nowhere thing later on, kind which is different than what Degrassi does later with Emma and Spinner, who have never had any chemistry in any way at all, and they get married. Not saying that Tessa and Joey get married, but it is a similar situation where it's like, oh, it's not weird that they're together because Tessa did mention that she liked Joey, but Emma and Spinner, there was no lead up for that.
Yeah, because I feel like if we didn't have this whole like mini arc with Tessa and Alex, the movie just would have been random where it's like, wait, who is this Tessa girl who's breaking up Joey and Caitlin?
Yeah, and I think that people would have been more sympathetic to Tessa, where this kind of set it where it's like, oh, she is willing to cheat on her boyfriend for somebody else pretty quickly. And now, not that, I don't want to be like she's a terrible person, but she doesn't look great later on either.
I think you need to rewatch the movie because, well, we'll talk about it when we get
I
there.
know, we keep referencing it. It's so hard not to. I do have to rewatch the movie though. I will.
Do you have anything else to say about Alex, Tessa, even Yik?
I think you forgot to mention Yik and Tessa's couple name.
Tick?
That was so silly. I see it written tick question mark. That's all.
Or Yessa.
Ooh, I do like Yessa, but tick is just how can you pass up that opportunity with tick? I got nothing else for Tessa or Alex or Yik.
I guess I did want to just briefly do Yik overall from his start.
Oh yeah, because this is the last of Yik.
Yeah. It's also the last of Alex, but Alex doesn't have much besides he just the nerdy guy in the background for this whole time.
Yeah, I think there was a few times we were watching like the first seasons of junior high. And I was like, "Who is this guy?" And you're like, "It's Alex." I'm like, "I don't. That doesn't mean anything to me." But for Yik, I think Yik definitely got more than Arthur, or at least it feels like it did. His character seems more memorable than Arthur's. And I don't know if that's correct or not. What do you think?
I think Yik is more memorable because he's just a more interesting character, I would say. But I do think Arthur gets more because like Arthur had the whole like Caitlin plot. He had the plot with his dad's girlfriend. Whereas
Right.
Yik's plots were pretty much always in the context of his friendship with Arthur. So I would say even though Yik is probably more memorable, he got less than Arthur did.
Okay. I guess if you think about it that way, I would rather be more memorable than, I mean, obviously financially you'd want more plots, but I think I'd rather be more memorable. Like Yik definitely stands out. I liked his plot about his immigrant family early on in the seasons. I liked watching him kind of figure out his friendship with Arthur, standing up for himself, being like, you're not treating me great now that you're rich, even though he's kind of bitter at the same time. And I liked Yik's little plots with girls too. Even that one with
Swools.
yeah. The swimming pool. I love it. I don't know. I liked him. I wish that he got more, which is, I feel bad for saying that and not saying that for Arthur, but also I don't really care. I think Yik should have had more. I think he was more interesting. There was a lot more that we could have seen from him, especially with girls. Like, I feel like he kind of grew into himself and was more confident, and I liked him as a character.
Yes, and actually on the topic of girls, I noticed in the sleepover episode, Maya mentions how she likes Yik's eyes, and then Yik mentions how he likes Maya's eyes. So I was like,
Yes, I was like, oh, they should hang out.
I would have liked to see a Maya x Yik development.
I agree. That would have been really cute. What did you think about Yik overall? What was your opinion?
Yeah, I like him. Tragically, he falls into the long list of grassy minority characters who end up mostly being sidekicks to their white main characters.
Yeah, that's true. Even though it, like, part of me wants to think that he was equal with Arthur, you're definitely right. He definitely did not get the better of the plots.
Yik's actor actually goes on to work on Next Generation, like behind the scenes.
No way, really?
Yeah, like he's I forget what he does. He's like a producer or director or something like that.
I love that for him. That's
For a
awesome.
lot of, yeah, it says he has worked as assistant director on many Degrassi episodes.
That's so good. Good for him. I love how Degrassi has employed so many people. They should bring it back.
Bitch, they better.
Keep us in business. Keep us employed.
Okay, do you want to move on to Kathleen and
I
Melanie?
sure do. I'm excited about this one. Your
Okay.
favorite episode?
Yes, so back to sleepover episode. The only episode that Kathleen and honestly this little group of girlfriends has this entire season. So Luke, for some reason, thinks that it's a good idea to hide his weed in the girls' tampon machine in the bathroom. So when Kathleen goes to use it, the weed comes out and she's like, drugs. And she then has the idea to bring it to the surprise birthday party that the group of girls is having for Diana and her sweet 16. So in the lead up to the sleepover, she's like talking to Melanie. She's like, oh, I'm gonna be a bit late to the sleepover because I have counseling, just kind of reminding us about that. And then Kathleen shows up right before Diana does, and the girls have a fun time just gossiping, eating cake, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, Kathleen then whips out the weed. She's like, Maya, truth or dare? Truth, have you ever done drugs before? And then she's like, I got connections. So it was so stupid. But Kathleen, they basically just make a whole little smoke circle where they all decide to smoke some weed except for Caitlin. Like, so after like doing their little circle and going through the blunts, Kathleen, it affects Kathleen, like she kind of gets very timid and quiet. Diana keeps being annoying about how she doesn't feel anything. And then Melanie ends up getting the munchies and gets very, very talkative. So nothing too crazy at this point. But then they go back to Truth or Dare. Diana asks Melanie if she has ever read anybody's diary. And Melanie's like, oh, you bet I did. I read front to back Kathleen's entire diary where she talked about how she's anorexic. And then she goes on to say she got counseling for it. Oh, I love this scene, honestly. She's like, Kathleen, why are you so upset? You're anorexic, your mom's an alcoholic, and your boyfriend beat you up. Anybody would need counseling for any one of those things.
He just roasted her at the sleepover. It was so rude.
So Kathleen's like, oh, what? That's not your story to tell. So Kathleen like runs outside crying. Melanie is like super high and just starts chuckling to herself. Caitlin goes outside to go comfort Kathleen while she's crying, saying that like it's not really that big of a deal, Kathleen. Like, we don't think any less of you. We all pretty much knew anyway. But Kathleen says that that's not the point. So the weekend then passes, and on Monday morning, Melanie goes up to Kathleen saying that I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. It was the drugs. Like, you know how much I care about you. You're my best friend. But Kathleen does not accept her apology. And that's the end of the episode and the end of Kathleen and Melanie for the entire Degrassi franchise.
I mean, are we surprised that they don't end up friends after like this roller coaster of a friendship that they've had?
But I'm so sad about it because even though they've had so many ups and downs, I really enjoy their dynamic and I've really loved the growth that they've had as friends.
Yeah, it was just insane how Melanie dropped all of Kathleen's information just to everybody. There's no coming back from that. That was a major fuck up. And I feel like that is a better PSA for drugs than anything else. Than, Emma sending someone into a diabetic coma, like fucking Peter doing meth. Like, this was it. You're gonna rat your friend's secrets out to everybody because you're so big that you don't think. That is a PSA.
Okay, but here's the thing. I feel like if it were like 3 years later, right, and Melanie just spit this out, it would have been hysterical.
Oh yeah, but also it's Kathleen.
Yes, but I'm saying like her boyfriend abused her like less than a year ago at this point, and she's still
Yeah.
in counseling to like work through all of those things. But I feel like
Right.
in a different context, if Melanie were to just say, "Girl, you've been through it," that would have been the most funny thing at any sleepover.
Oh yeah, for sure. And especially with friends who kind of knew what was going on, I think it would have been even funnier, but these girls knew nothing.
No, Caitlin,
Or
we all pretty much knew what happened.
like we knew about, I mean, we like kind of did, but Kathleen didn't talk about it with any of them. So it was just like bad. It was just such a bad drop. It was not Melanie's best moments. I'm just really surprised that it wasn't Kathleen that fucked up their friendship. Because I feel like Kathleen just time after time again says like the worst things at the worst times and is just like not a very nice person. And then like Melanie just did this and it was done.
Well, but that's
That
the thing. Like, yes, Kathleen has grown past like her bitchy phase. But
Yeah.
also, Kathleen has been saying shit like this to Melanie for years. So
Oh yeah.
the one time that Melanie is just not thinking because she's on drugs that Kathleen brought for everybody, I feel like it's a little hypocritical of her to just drop Melanie as a friend for one mistake that isn't honestly that big of a deal.
Oh yeah, but Kathleen's just got such a stick up her ass, no matter what. There's just no way. She would never let that fly. It's like Holly J and
Anya.
oh my God. And what?
Anya.
Anya, oh my God, I don't know why I blanked so hard. I was gonna say Anna. I'm like, that is not it. It's like Holly J and Anya. Like Holly J time and time again treated Anya like absolute shit. But the second that Anya stood up for herself, she's like, I'm not gonna be your friend. Bye. It's like, what? Whereas like I know this is different. Nah, Anya also did kind of fucking yell back at Holly J at one point. But anyway, I am not shocked that Kathleen ended their friendship, is what I'm getting at. And Melanie definitely fucked up. And it was a mistake. But there's no coming back from it. It's just too bad. Do they talk in the film? Do you remember?
They're not even in the movie.
What? They would have added for some good drama. That's so annoying.
Yeah, which is why it's just so upsetting to me that this is the end of them. Like, that's what I was talking about at the beginning, how they just kind of leave some plots like completely unresolved. I feel like even if they decided to keep Kathleen and Melanie not friends, I feel like there needs to be at least another plot as a follow-up to this.
Yeah, I think that would have been fair. I don't really know how Melanie would have redeemed herself in all of this. I think Kathleen would have had to be the one to be like, okay, I'm gonna look past this. This is the first time you've like done anything bad, and also you were high.
Yeah,
So
because also Melanie has helped Kathleen through all of these issues that she's been going through.
no, yeah, no, I totally agree. I just can't come back from that. That's an ultimate roast in front of everybody you know.
It wasn't even like a roast, though. It was just saying, "Hey, girl, you've been through it."
Oh, I know, but to out her like that to everybody, even if they like did know, just to bring it up. That would be like if someone brought up my three deepest, darkest secrets in front of like every single person that I was friends with and was like, ha ha. And I was like, okay, that was terrible. Thank you for that. Yeah. And who would have thought Caitlin would have been the one to be freaking nice about it?
Because Caitlyn was the only sober one.
I know, but Kathleen was a bitch to Caitlin all night. She's like, oh, Little Miss Perfect, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, okay. Now you're roasted for your. I know roast is not the correct term, but I don't know what else to call it. Outed? The butt of the joke? I don't even know.
It wasn't even a joke. It was just like, she was just like, I read your diary. You have anorexia. You're in counseling for it, as well as X, Y, and Z, too.
Yeah, it didn't help that she was like laughing while telling everybody too. And I know she was high, but like, girl, it wasn't it. But I understand what you're saying about how you would have liked for there to be more of a wrap up at the end of it. I kind of forgot that that's like where we left off with them, and that's it.
Yeah, because they, I would say they are like one of the biggest friendships in the series.
Right. I wonder why they wrote it like this. I'm very curious. We should ask
Yeah,
the.
maybe they just didn't have the episodes to like wrap it up or something. They thought Joey and Caitlin think getting back together was more important.
For the millionth time.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, because otherwise they didn't have anything else, right? Not that I can think of.
Nope, this is it.
Yeah. And it's such a shame because Melanie's actress is so good too. I always enjoy watching her. I think she's hilarious.
Yes, I love her.
Oh, but I did want your opinion on this. Why did you think Kathleen was so chill with doing drugs?
So she did say that, like, when she hung out with Scott in the last season, like, they smoked while she was hanging out with his friends.
Okay.
So I guess that just kind of happened off screen.
See, that was just something that I couldn't get past because we watched Kathleen be interviewed for the condom machines, and she was just so uptight about sex. And she's like, well, if there's condom machines, then people are going to want to have sex. And that's like Degrassi promoting that. And I'm prude. She didn't say that part, but whatever. And then for her to like find the drugs and be like, yeah, I want to do it. It just seemed like that would have been a Melanie move. And it was interesting that it was a Kathleen move.
Yeah, I could see that.
I
Though
just
I
feel like she's so uptight about everything else, and this is the drugs is what she's cool with. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of I think the season one episode where Joey sold Kathleen and Melanie fake drugs.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. Okay, so yeah, drugs are on Kathleen's like, we're good list.
Or maybe not the we're good list, but like just curious. And I guess like if she has experience with it from her ex-boyfriend, then I guess it's not that big of a deal for her.
Yeah, she's someone that seems like she has to do it first and have an opinion, but otherwise it's wrong. Like I feel like if her and Scott had sex, it would not have been a whole thing about the condoms.
Or maybe it would have been. Kathleen's like, you follow different rules than I do.
Yeah, Kathleen kind of seems like that kind of person.
Yeah.
But not saying that it what Melanie did was right. I think that it was absolutely wrong. Like that was just so bad. That was such a bad friend move. It was not good at all. Like you said, if it was a few years later, everyone was joking around, everyone's having a good time, and you bring up past trauma, fine, but not past trauma that happened like not even that long ago.
Yeah. I did think it was interesting Kathleen's reaction to being high. Like she got super quiet.
Yeah, it I think that that was pretty accurate though, is that it really does affect people in a different way. Some people get super giggly. I forget who it was, but someone was like, oh, is there cake? Like, it might have been Melanie, but there's that. Some people get really chatty. So it was kind of funny to see how different everyone reacted to it.
Yeah, I
And then
just.
also, I kind of wish that for Caitlin choosing not to do it, she easily could have said it was because she gets seizures and she doesn't want to mess up with her meds.
Do you think the writers remember she gets seizures?
Maybe not. But But I was thinking that. I was like, oh, that would have been a really good out if she just was like, nah, I can't do that with my seizure meds, and then everyone dropped it, you know?
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Maybe I should have helped write this episode.
But yeah, I guess besides this whole drama with Melanie and Kathleen, what did you think about the sleepover in general?
I thought it was so fun. I also thought it was so funny when they asked about who was, what's her name? What's the girl in the wheelchair's name? Maya?
Maya.
Yeah, then when they asked Maya if she could have sex one day, and she was like, yeah, the guy's just gonna have to try though.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Maya is such an icon. I wish they gave her more.
I know she's a really good friend to Caitlyn too. And not in like the just she'll agree with everything that Caitlyn says kind of way. Like she'll be straight with Caitlyn.
Yeah.
I liked that. I liked the sleepover. It just felt like it was really cute that it was a surprise party and that everyone was there and everyone just seemed like they're having a good time. I thought it was pretty funny that Caitlyn and Kathleen just so obviously hate each other and like don't get along, but they're both there anyway. That was kind of that really felt like high school.
Yes. And like I said, in this episode, it's just so good how there aren't any massive consequences to the drugs or whatever.
Right. Like I said, the PSA was just you ratting your friend out in front of everybody for being the
Honestly, I've been there. I've spilled the beans by accident. It happens.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. So that's why you're a Melanie sympathizer. You're like, it was me once. Oh, funny.
Okay, so since this is the last time we're going to talk about them, how do you feel about Kathleen and Melanie overall?
Well, I've hated Kathleen since the beginning, and I think she kind of turned it around for me last season. I'm pretty sure I said something along those lines. I think we needed someone like her in Degrassi, unfortunately. I feel like she's kind of what Becky could have been if Becky was like not a nicer person. I don't know. Something about Kathleen screams religious to me. I don't know if it's just her as a person.
I mean, she definitely holds herself to like the high standards of like somebody who feels like they're going to go to hell if they fuck up.
And she wears the outfits too, really. Just aren't, whatever. Yeah, overall, I'm just like not the biggest Kathleen fan. I think her actress is incredible. I think she does a great job all the way through. Melanie, huge fan. I love her. I think she's so funny. When she poured that milk on Kathleen's head, well deserved, like icon. Overall, their friendship is very much Holly J and Anya, in my opinion. It kind of set that tone for those later friendships of like there's a queen bee and then there's their sidekick. But I feel like Melanie kind of came out on top with that by doing this at the
Yeah, like Melanie versus Anya, Melanie isn't as timid as Anya was. Like, even at the beginning, Melanie never took Kathleen's shit. Like, even though Kathleen was always a bitch to her, Melanie was just like, this fucking bitch. Get over yourself.
Literally, though. But
So,
she's made friends with her, which is like, I don't know why.
I mean, I love their friendship. Like I said, like, Melanie is so good with helping Kathleen deal with her shit.
Okay, so here's the question. Are they good friends, or is Melanie a good friend to Kathleen? Because how has Kathleen been a good friend to Melanie?
Wasn't there, it was something with Melanie and Snake that Kathleen helped with. I forget.
Was Melanie the one who went on the date with Snake and Yik?
Yes.
I feel like Kathleen did not agree with that.
I think, wasn't it like Amy and Allison were like gossiping about Melanie and her bad name?
Oh, yes, yeah, and Kathleen went crazy and basically like yelled at them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because they were blocking their lockers.
Oh, that was Tabby, but yes.
Yeah.
Similar type of,
Oh.
but like I like their dynamic, even if like they're not the most healthy friendship. No high school friendship is going to be a healthy friendship, but they're dynamic is so interesting to watch. They like bounce off of each other really well.
Yeah, I can see them being, they're definitely a little toxic, but that's why I'm like not 100% surprised about how this ended. Like, realistically for them, it was probably going to end in some sort of like ridiculous way, their friendship. It just wasn't going to be sustainable with the way that they go at each other, like back and forth. And they both just have strong personalities, I guess. And that's what makes, but Kathleen's is like stronger.
Yes.
That's what makes it difficult. But no, they're definitely entertaining. I will say that. That's for sure.
Yes. So what about them individually as characters?
I already did that. I already talked about Kathleen and, but what do you think of them as individually as characters?
Well, Kathleen, like we talked about previously, like her issues that Melanie exposed all make sense. So like that's the other thing where it's like with everything she's gone through, we know that she's still in counseling, but I feel like there's never like a full circle moment that you would kind of hope to see for her.
Like that she's grown as a person, kind of thing.
Yeah, like her graduation where she's like, "Oh, I've gone through so much in high school and I've gone through it and I'm a stronger person because of it," type of thing.
Yeah, she, I guess she wasn't like that far, that she wasn't along enough in her healing process to get to that point, especially if like this ended the friendship.
Right. So, like, I really enjoy and appreciate Kathleen's character. Like you said, she's necessary for Degrassi. It's just unsatisfying to me how like it just kind of drops and there's no conclusion to her character arc.
Yeah. I can see how that's frustrating for you. You love a good character arc.
Yes. And then Melanie, she has never had like a explicit character arc. She had like her whole thing with Yik and then Snake, and then her friendship with Kathleen has probably been the most consistent thing with her. But yeah, I love her a lot. She's so fun, and I just would have loved to see her and Kathleen patch things up.
I know you would have. So for our last character of this, well, not our last character forever, but for this episode, we're gonna talk about Lucy.
Yeah, so Lucy doesn't really fit with these characters, obviously. She's in a different grade, but she also doesn't really fit with any of the characters in her grade either. She's just kind of off doing her own thing in this season because her main friends, Erica and Heather, obviously do not do anything this season after their really big season in season one. So, yeah, we're just kind of putting her here because she doesn't really fit anywhere else. She doesn't have too much going on this season. In the first episode, we again get reminded that LD, after her whole cancer last season, she's in remission, and she and her dad sold their house so that they could live life to the fullest and travel around the world. So, because she misses her best friend, wink wink, Lucy is now filming everything in the school year or during the school year to keep LD updated about what's new at Degrassi. So the first episodes deal with Lucy basically covering the addition of condom machines to Degrassi and just getting everybody's opinions about it, both for and against. That's kind of like the tone, I guess, for Lucy for the season, that she's just kind of filming everything, talking to LD through her videos. Her first real episode is that she is making a video about how she does not have a date to the upcoming dance, saying that she's a dateless wonder. So she's kind of in her feelings about being single and such, and she runs into an upperclassman whose name is Dale, and immediately there are flirty vibes between them. He ends up asking her to the dance, and she says yes. Around this time, the girls also find out that their volleyball team, their practice time has been usurped by the boys' basketball team because the boys have apparently a better chance of going to the finals this year. In the previous year, the volleyball team like lost every single game or something like that. So the girls go to the gym to try and protest this injustice towards the girls' volleyball team with Lucy as head of the protest. But when the boys come in, she puts herself in the background of the crowd of girls when she finds out that Dale is the captain of the basketball team. So she just kind of takes a back seat while probably one of the twins, I forget who, argue against Dale about this whole practice time thing. So she ends up going to Bronco, who was the school president, to see if he could do anything about this. Bronco's solution is to schedule a debate during student council where the boys and the girls could duke it out. So Lucy initially does not want to speak for the girls because, again, she is embarrassed to, speak up in front of Dale. But when Dale ends up saying something about, like, people care more about boys' sports because they're better, she goes into full feminist mode and speaks up and fights against him, saying, like, oh, you're a sexist, blah, 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 blah. So after this whole thing, the girls actually end up winning the debate by the vote. But Dale ends up retracting his date offer with like some excuse about like a sick grandma or something like that. But even though the girls won the debate, the principal does not switch the times. And Lucy then goes back to feeling bad about herself that she cannot win anything and she is still dateless. But at the end of the episode, Bronco comes up to ask her out because he was super impressed by her hashtag girl boss energy at the debate. So they end up going to the dance together and getting together as a couple. A bit of time passes. Lucy is having a good time going out with Bronco, but the twins hear a rumor that the famous band, the Savages, are filming a music video at the school over the weekend. So they're like, Lucy, you have to ask Bronco. There's no way he doesn't know about this. Bronco is like, it is true, but like, you gotta keep it on the DL. Like, Mr. Raditz doesn't want anybody to know. And like, he also says that you cannot come, it's only for special VIP people and such. But Lucy comes up with a plan to leave a window open in the school so that they could sneak in. So the next day, they sneak in through their open window and like, kind of do some sleuthing around the school to look at the set of the music video and stuff. Joey and Snake also end up sneaking into the school, and like the girls and Joey and Snake bump into each other, and then they bump into Bronco, who was sent to investigate a noise. So Bronco's like, you guys gotta go. But Mr. Raditz, of course, ends up catching all of them, and they all get in trouble, especially Bronco, who was given the responsibility to not let this happen. So Bronco is upset with Lucy for like telling people about this and getting him in trouble, but they both commiserate over the fact that neither of them were able to get to meet the band. So even though they had a little tiff there, they are still good at the end. And then finally, we see in the last couple episodes of the season that Lucy is campaigning for the school presidency for the next year, and she ends up winning the election. But the same day that she wins the election, she finds out that from Mr. Raditz that Degrassi is closing next year because there are lots of structural problems with the school. So everybody is going to be separated and going to different high schools for their senior year. So Lucy is upset. She's like, oh, is there anything we could do? There isn't, blah, 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 blah. But she has a fun time at the final dance of Degrassi with Bronco.
Okay. Lucy like kind of did have a lot now that you went through it. That was the longer of the the plots that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, I mean, none of them were like intense, I guess.
Right. Well, one thing I wanted to mention because I really liked this and it would have been kind of cool to see if Degrassi ever did this again was how she filmed her point of view for LD. And it kind of gave us all this insight into like how she's feeling and what she's thinking and what's going on, which is something we've talked about with other characters where we're like, well, it would have been nice to know what was going on inside their head, but then we're like, well, they don't have any friends, or like they don't have any friends to talk about this with. Whereas Lucy was able to, talk, I put quotes around talk, to LD, but also we were able to see her point of view and just like her perspective on things that we normally wouldn't have gotten if she wasn't filming with 4LD.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was super cute, especially because I am a Lucy LD shipper.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
No.
that.
So it was nice to see that LD is still on Lucy's mind. Very cute. But yeah, you're so right. Like, I also liked how it continued Lucy's like filming passion that we saw last season.
Absolutely. I think it would have been cool to have some sort of not documentary style, but something like that in Degrassi in general, especially for characters that we wouldn't know what's going on otherwise. It just would have been a cool take. Kind of like how, Parks and Rec and The Office have those like cutaway scenes where they're talking to the camera. It kind of would have been fun for Degrassi to do something like that, but they did it very tastefully in this, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I feel like Degrassi always has like at least one character who's into videos and stuff. Because I'm just
Yeah.
thinking of the intros, right? Like Ellie is like the filmer of the intro for a while, and then it's Peter, I think, for better or worse.
Yeah, I don't know if we would have wanted his point of view on things.
I think Sav was the video in the video maker in the intro at one point.
I think so.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that was different. We also got to know that LD, is alive and made it through her cancer, where instead of just like dropping her off completely, we do get some sort of background on where she went. Obviously, it's a bummer she's not in it, but it does kind of make sense, like, why she isn't in it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the reason that she's world traveling was kind of weird.
It's definitely different, but I could see where if it's just her and her dad, and they already had that huge loss with the mom, and then that huge scare with her, I could totally see that being like, fuck it, let's go see the world. Like, cancer is not leaving our family alone right now. Let's do it. I respect it. I liked that reason better than her being like, she went to private school.
That's true.
Something more fun, something different. I would like to go into Lucy and her basketball boy, that whole plot.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know. I kind of knew that her and Dale were never gonna actually get together. The dude couldn't act to save his life. There's no way they could have given him more plots. Like, that would have been so boring. He kind of felt like Blue to me with Holly J.
Ooh, it's so true. For me, it's like Lucy just needs to get away from these white boys. Like, first Clutch and now this guy. Like, come on.
I literally thought this guy was Clutch. They both look, I don't even know anymore. They all look the same to me. I did like that, at first she was like, oh, I don't know if I want to share my opinion. I don't want to ruin my chances of getting a date. And then she realized she doesn't want to be with a man who doesn't respect her opinion. She wants to be with a man who appreciates her opinion. And I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, it was a cute little plot. I just feel like it was kind of done with Lucy already before with Paul and Clutch. Maybe not in the exact same way, but like in the sense that like she wouldn't let either Paul or Clutch like control her.
Yeah, and I think that this is kind of similar to where she kind of gives up parts of herself in the beginning of some sort of relationship. Like when she started dating Clutch, she kind of gave up her friends and then she had to like find her way back with that. And, or Paul, I mean, both of them, I guess. I forgot about that. And then same with this, like she was willing to give up like her opinions and her, like that she loves to share them out loud, no problem. But then realized that she doesn't want to give that up for some captain of the basketball team. Lame. So I'm proud of her.
Yeah, like her standing up for herself is what got her Bronco, who's a total catch.
I really like her. I feel like they wanted to do something similar with either Liberty or Emma, but they turned them both into terrible people. Where like Lucy, she doesn't have like a terrible person plot. Like, I guess the worst of it is just like her not really picking her friends when she first gets a boyfriend, but she finds her way back after that.
Yeah, like her maturity is definitely there from the earlier seasons.
And the dress she was wearing when she met Dale, I loved that dress. I was gonna look it up and see if I could. I don't know if you remember it, but it was really cute. Her outfits this whole season are fire.
Yeah,
She's
Lucy's a fashion icon, I will say.
best dressed for sure at Degrassi. I would vote it. But do you have anything else for Dale and Lucy, the most boring couple that lasted not even an episode?
No. I mean, do you feel any way about like the boys versus girls plot in general?
I think that it was a good one. I think her reasons behind it were awesome too. It wasn't just like, we want the gym because we want the gym. It's like, we want the gym because girls, time and time again, are just shut down for wanting the same things. And then unfortunately, it still didn't even work out. The principal still said, sorry, we're going to focus on the basketball team this year.
Yeah.
Even though the school is not going to be open next year.
I guess maybe they didn't know that at that point.
They didn't. Radish said he didn't know until the day of the dance or whatever, so I'll have to believe him.
Well, she got Bronco, which is the better prize anyway.
Yeah, I thought they were cute. I was like really, really nervous she was gonna fuck that up with her not being able to keep a secret.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how it didn't ruin their relationship, honestly.
Yeah, I think if I were him, I would have been pretty pissed. But it
Yeah.
wasn't like she told everybody. I guess that's the good part. Like, she just told the two girls.
Yeah, and then Joey just happened to find out when he went there.
Right. So realistically, she told two other people about it, and like them sneaking in was definitely not good. I'm just wondering if she didn't think it would look bad on him. So that's why she didn't really care. But I feel like I was anticipating him being like, and now we're done.
Yeah. But I guess that just shows how good of a guy Bronco is.
Right. He's like, I get it. This is a really big secret. And everybody knew anyway. It sounded like, at least the teachers definitely knew. That's like all I got, though. I'm like thinking about it.
Yeah, like the music video was also kind of like just a fun little plot, but I think fits in the trend of what I was saying at the beginning of like this is just kind of a one-off that doesn't affect anything else.
Yeah.
So like it was funny like seeing them like crawl around the hallways and such. And especially the scene where like Lucy hid in the garbage bin to like sneak
Oh,
into
yeah.
the classroom. Like that was funny, you know? But I was like, okay, like this doesn't mean anything larger outside of this episode.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of like a cute little plot that they had, and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I was wondering if they would ever actually see them, the Savages. And then
Yeah.
they didn't.
I think the Savages might be like a Heather Sinclair type of deal. Because I don't, are they a real band?
I don't know. They kept singing that song. It's embarrassing if they are, and we're just like, we don't know who that is. But also, this is like the 80s, right? So.
So there's a Wikipedia page for Savages parentheses band, but it says
Okay.
you're an English rock band that formed in 2011. So,
Oh, so that's definitely not it. So then
I
you're
think.
right. They're probably just like a fake band that Degrassi made up.
Yeah.
That's fine. I was getting sick of listening to Everybody Wants Something anyway. Needed a little, need some new music.
See. Do you have anything more about just Lucy and Barco's relationship?
Not really. I mean, there wasn't really much to it. I did like that she was finally got someone that respects her and treats her kindly, and they're just really flirty and cute together, and it would make me happy when she would just like joke around with him and he's like, "Oh, my ego," like, or just like, I don't know. They're really cute. It made me happy.
Yes, Lucy definitely deserves it.
I agree. If anyone does, it's her. She's just been so strong at Degrassi this whole time. She deserved a strong man with her, the class president, I would say.
If she can't have LD, Bronco's a good alternate.
That's true. I'll let you have that thought.
So Lucy does have a small role in the movie. So do you want to talk about her in the movie overall or now?
I think we should save her for in the movie overall because she is a main character. They just kind of screwed her this season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I
So I
mean,
don't want to, I'm not ready to say goodbye just yet.
okay, yes, I agree.
Like,
Because what did she do last season? She did, she
last
had the,
season, it was all that boy drama,
no, I think
right?
the boy drama was, season three of junior high.
Oh, you're right, because they were going to the high school and whatnot.
Yeah, so I think last season was mostly the LD drama. and the movie
Yeah.
or movie.
I was about to look up and see what we had. Lucy. Yeah, she makes the music video.
Yes.
And then she kind of, oh yeah, then it's mostly LD stuff. Yeah, it's literally that, which is crazy because for someone that only has like two plots a season, that's like averaging two plots a season, she's still such a main character to me.
She's such an icon.
I know, she's awesome. She does nothing wrong, in my opinion.
Not recently, anyway.
Yeah. Besides, letting her friends in on a little secret. That's all.
And a secret that they pretty much knew already, anyway.
Right? Yeah, that's why it's not that bad. And I guess Bronco felt the same way for him not to dump her and then them stay together for the dance.
And they stay together for the whole next year in between the movie.
Oh, are they together in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, love that for them. Like I
Yeah,
said, I
that's
haven't seen it.
because Bronco, he's a senior, I think, because he's the president.
Oh.
Which means he presumably graduated in this season and they stayed together while he was in college.
Because she didn't run against him, right? For this class president thing?
No. I think she ran against Nancy, of course.
Nancy. Good. I'm glad that she won. I guess if anyone else could have won, I guess it could have been Nancy, but whatever.
Well, she doesn't even get to be president because the school shuts down.
True. Nancy's like, I dodged a bullet.
But yeah, that's all we got for Lucy for now. And I think all we got for this episode.
Yeah, the next two episodes are going to be some pretty good stuff, in my opinion. I mean, this wasn't bad, but it's just going to keep getting better.
Yes. So yeah, we're slowly getting to the finish line.
Yeah, don't want to talk about it. Pretty bummed. Degrassi has until May to pull it together and put out a new episode or a new season or something. So we'll see.
They did just get a star on the Canada Walk of Fame. So like Degrassi is still on the mind.
Right? Like Days of Our Lives is older than us and that's still on. Why can't we have this? Maybe one day.
We need to start a petition.
All right, I'm on it.
But until then, thanks for listening.
And we'll see you soon.